Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to Recotopia, a happy home for recommended movies, shows, and music from two people you can definitely trust. Trustability varies by region, no guarantees implied. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atkinson and Jeremy Scott.
Not so fast. I want a Winnebago.
What?
Fully equipped. Big kitchen, waterbed, AM/FM CD, microwave.
This is not a car dealership, pal.
He wants a Winnebago.
All right, everybody, welcome to Recotopia. This is what we're considering episode zero of our emerging catalog.
It's like Coke Zero.
It's just this like Coke Zero.
Recotopia with no sugar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. We had already recorded an episode one and then realized we had a whole bunch of other stuff that we needed to do before we came out with episode one. So now we're going to do sort of a test drive episode here, which we are calling episode zero. I'm Chris Atkinson.
And I'm Jeremy Scott.
And welcome to Recotopia. This is where we are going to recommend a bunch of movies for you. I don't know. Are we ever going to do Warns on a Recotopia? I'm not sure. I'm sure we will.
I think it's possible, yes. Because here's the deal. The show will, for now, be broken up into four segments. Small recommends, which really is more... The small really is more about the amount of time we're going to talk on it. Mm-hmm. Not that we're only tiny.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, barely recommending it. Yeah.
And then we'll do the big recommend. That's going to be a movie every week. It's going to be like a movie club where you'll find out a week in advance and you can watch the film, and Sin Club members over at Patreon can join the discussion. And we're hoping that's going to be fun because we'll be recording those live for those fans. And then we're going to do a surprise double feature. Mm-hmm. Which is where the guy who didn't pick that week's big recommend has picked a movie that is a nice companion piece, in his opinion. And then we'll do some questions. Those are going to be the four main segments of Recotopia. And I am guessing at some point down the line, we'll do a big recommend or a movie that has just come out. And maybe mm-hmm. both of us don't like it. So maybe right. one of us is actually warning it. But the spirit of the show is to help you find new movies, TV shows, and music that you might not otherwise have discovered, and then discuss them.
Yeah, and it'll be fun.
Now, for our episode zero, we are going to give you a big recommend. And most of you, if you are familiar with us at all, are not going to be surprised here. Chris, what are we recommending today?
Yes, in the past, we have probably mentioned the movie Sneakers, at least I would say handful dozen of times. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting movie, right? Like, it's not one that people bring up a lot, but it's something that we have shared over the years is a love of sneakers. And it's not a movie that, you know, you're not going to run into a lot of people out there who are like, oh boy, I love me some sneakers or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what your story is on having seen this movie for the first time. I don't have a real story. It's just the fact that I remember watching this in theaters.
Oh yeah.
And we went in Franklin, we had Williamson Square 8, a theater that I would eventually work at. And we had another theater that was in another little mall. It was called Rand Cinemas or O'Neill Theaters, which had, it was a couple of different names over its time. And it used to get all these movies that Williamson Square didn't get. And they got Sneakers, and I saw Sneakers there. Mm. And it's just one of those movies, by the end of it, you're just got a big smile on your face. It's just, it's so entertaining at every moment. I don't think there is one slow part in this movie. Even the parts that are supposed to be slow are not slow.
Right, right. But there's also excellent characterization, right? Like the mm-hmm. the a lot of heist movies, like Ocean's 11, you know, there's not that much difference to me between Danny Ocean and Brad Pitt's character, except that Brad Pitt eats in every scene. Every person on this team has such a uniquely carved out personality, down to the conspiracy theorist Dan Aykroyd, the blind, I just forgot his name, David Strathairn, River Phoenix being River Phoenix, Sidney Poitier adding this, like he was cast perfectly as the ex-CIA guy because his presence just lends credibility. Robert Redford as the charming guy with a little bit of a mystery. I just, the cast is what makes this sing, I think. It's a, it would have been a good movie, but this particular cast at this particular time. Now, my story is, this is 1992 when this came out, and I'm living at home and a high school student, not allowed to go to movies. So the ones that I did sneak out and go to were the more high profile ones. So then 1993 rolls around, I go off to college and start hitting that video store with my buddy Josh every weekend. And it's, it was literally pick up a box with faces we recognize. Oh, Robert Redford. Oh, Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd. This looks fun. Let's throw it in. And we both fell in love immediately. I think that was one of the first movies I ever bought that I owned on VHS. Yeah.
I had this on VHS as well.
And I had one of those little, like 15 inch TVs with a VCR built in underneath it.
Yeah.
For my dorm room, and I would watch Sneakers all the time, every week, over and over and over again. And I just looked this up because my I wanted to say this was not a huge hit, but this made $105 million.
And that and back in 92, that's pretty solid in a domestic tally for sure.
Yeah, and they only spent $23 million. I don't know how they did that with that.
No,
cast.
I don't either.
But it's just, it holds up today, even though there has been this internet explosion since, and it doesn't feel dated. It feels like a movie you could still make today with some tweaks to how you present, you know, the encryption breaker to end all encryption breakers.
Yeah. Boom. It starts off with that. We forget how advanced quote unquote hacking is at this point, right? Even though computers are not exactly in everybody's, I don't think they're in everybody's lives yet. The internet is still a little ways away. There's bulletin board systems and things like that going around, but there's not like a lot, you know, you're not going there to a website. You're not shopping yet. You're not doing any of that type. You're not doing like legal shopping probably. But you know, it's going back into the 70s where they're talking about, you know, they're showing kids and don't, you know, it's the characters that we're going to get to know as Robert Redford and Ben Kingsley later on, who were in a dorm, who are hacking like government sites and everything. And, you know, and Martin Bryce, as he's known as, at the time, goes out for pizza, and it's all because he loses, you know, this little, you know, where's the thing in the hand or whatever, like pick the right hand or whatever. He loses that, but then the cops show up right after that and pick up who's going to be the Ben Kingsley character. And so he has over time, he has created this. I love the, like they show that opening. They also show the opening sneak that they do, that they go into. And I love how it's succinctly put by the person giving him the check at the end. He's like, so people hire you to break into their places so that they don't, so that you can figure out, was it so that you,
so no one can break into their places.
So no one can break into their places. And he's like, well, it's a living. He's just like, not a very good one.
She's so mean.
Go ahead.
I like how he turns immediately after that and walks right up the stairs. He doesn't go outside. He just walks right up on the boards. The board's all sitting there waiting for him. And he starts giving his report. It sets the scene really well, because you think when it cuts from that opening flashback to the first sneak, you don't really know these guys aren't criminals until he walks up there and kind of flips the script and says, oh, I guess she says people pay you, but you get a taste of everybody's personality there, with Mother Underground spewing his cattle mutilation theories about the CIA. Dan Aykroyd,
probably like one of his best performances that we never talk about, Dan Aykroyd as Mother in this.
Yeah, I agree completely. Best line in the entire film comes in the final scene. He says, "I can't believe tomorrow's Thursday."
Yeah.
Timothy Busfield is in this. Mary McDonald, Donald Logue. The cast is, in hindsight, stacked. Now, when it was made, you know, Donald Logue wasn't a household name. I guess he probably still isn't.
No, but nobody knew him at all at that point, is what you're saying. I mean, he's an absolute nobody character guy at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, and man, so the whole thing is centered around trying to find this box that is the key to is decoding all this encryption that has suddenly been put around all the most important sites and everything. And a lot of people, you know, I love the line too, where it was like, "So what's the key?" And he goes, "No, this is the key."
Yeah.
The thing that he made is what does the thing, you know? So basically, there's a whole bunch of the story surrounds this thing. And there's that scene where they're playing Scrabble and going through, you know, you have Whistler there playing with it with River Phoenix, and they're sitting there like trying to figure out what he's just Strathairn is just like touching some sort of braille pad of some sort, and he can feel the sort of the when something goes crazy if they hit the right connector on this thing. And so then they start using that contact every time to try to hack into these sites, like, you know, stuff that's absolutely horrifying. Like, they're kind of doing it as a joke, but like, think about somebody having this in front of them, like, you know,
somebody who has the FAA, and he's like, "Anyone want to crash a few jets?"
Yeah.
It's like, that's not really funny.
yeah, exactly. And then by the end of it, Sidney Poitier is like, "There isn't a government in the world that wouldn't kill us all for that thing." And they realize that, yes, that's exactly correct, because that is something that's like all power right there. We talk about, you know, that's what they keep doing. I don't even know if you would call this a MacGuffin, really. It's the thing that drives this whole movie.
Yes.
It's not something that people, you know, it's something that is attained. It's something that is, you see the power of it. It's not, I guess you see the same thing in like with Fast and the Furious with the God's Eye later on. And, you know, like there's other movies that have tried this all powerful technology thing. But yeah, you see how great it is, and just how many times they have to solve things using their heads. That is something that is another thing about this movie. Because there's a point where they're trying to figure out what the Donald Logue's box is. Like, it's either they don't know what it is at first. They don't know what it looks like. Nothing, and they're spying on him through a telescope. And everything that they do seems to, have one character who has some sort of knowledge that helps them break the situation. Because when his girlfriend comes in, Donald Logue's girlfriend comes in while they're spying on them and everything, and she says, "I left message here on service, but you did not call." And it's Whistler who's, you know, trained to listen. He's blind. He's trained to listen to everything that's going on. And he goes, and they keep on going. They try to figure out the guy's password when he's typing it in the keyboard, and they're trying to do all these different things. Like, wow, what are we going to do about this? And then Whistler goes, his black box is located between the blah, blah, blah and the pencils or whatever. And they're like, "I hate to break this to you, Whistler, but you're blind." And he goes, "Just listen to it again." And so when she says, "Left a message on the service," he's like, "Well, he's got a service. Why would he need an answering machine?" So there's a whole bunch of stuff like that where they have to talk it out. They have to solve the problem. And that's why I love stuff like this. And I hate stuff where they say, here's, we got to solve all these problems, these puzzles. And then it takes them 5 seconds to come up with a solution and it works.
Or the computer just tells them where to go. Like there's, the movie's full of problem solving. When Redford's been kidnapped and once again, Whistler, the blind guy, leads him through, what did you hear? What did it sound like? Were there seams on the road? Okay, it was a bridge. Was there a foghorn last night? No. Yeah. Oh, we know which bridge you're on. And then they get to what sounds like a cocktail party. And he, it's a great portrayal of a blind person that is like ages ahead in terms of representation of where Hollywood would, they're still behind, but he's not just an accurately portrayed blind guy. He gets to be the hero like three or four different times. He gets to drive that van at the very end in one of the funniest scenes. This movie is way funnier than any heist movie deserves to be. Mm-hmm. And it marries those genres perfectly. There's just in the midst of that action at the end where they're trying to escape this evil toy factory. Here's a hilarious scene of a blind guy being told, okay, count to five and then stop. And he runs into the building and goes, I think I'll just stop right here.
You have a very gentle slope. The other thing about that whole like recreate the scene, like you recreate the trunk thing is just he goes to that, what is it? A synthesizer or keyboard, some kind of thing. And he's able to replicate like the seams in the road and the sound of the air whooshing by. And then like, you know, all these different little sounds. And it's like, ba-dum, ba-dum,
yeah,
ba-dum, ba-dum. And then like, it goes, once they've nailed it, it goes immediately to a car on the bridge, driving over that, making that same noise. And the biggest puzzle of all, of course, is them trying to solve how they get into that toy store, that toy factory. There's so many different things they have to worry about in that. They spy on the thing for a long time, trying to figure out who's the last to leave. Ends up being the Stephen Tobolowsky character, who's also in this and great. They have to rig up an online dating thing for him so that Mary McDonald can go out with him and like get all these different words that you have to use to get inside the office behind the this. It's like it's a little voice recognition keypad type thing, and it's, you know, it's like, it's a hi, my name is, you know, Werner Brandis. And my voice is my passport, verify me. And she's got to get all those words down. It's like they're like closed down a Chinese food restaurant place trying to get all these words. And not to mention that it just like in later on in Mission Impossible, the office has got, you know, it's heat sensitive and it's got the highest tech security that there is. It's just the whole thing. I mean, I don't know if there's one moment in Sneakers that I'm like, I can really do without this.
No, you're absolutely right. Even some of my very favorite movies, like The Matrix, there's a couple of line deliveries that I just kind of cringe at still. And there's nothing like that in Sneakers at all. We've got to talk to you about today's sponsor, which is HelloFresh. Mm-hmm. This is a service that I have used and loved for quite a while. HelloFresh basically delivers pre-portioned meals and ingredients to your door. You cook the meals, but they send you everything you need in the exact amount that you need it. This saves you a lot of time in doing prep work in the kitchen. It saves you time in going to the grocery store to shop. It saves you money. One of my most mind-blowing stats that they sent us is that they're 72% cheaper than restaurant meals of the same quality. So if you were to go to a restaurant and eat, you know, seared chicken with avocado, asparagus. Oh, God, that should not be a recipe, probably. but HelloFresh will give you the same meal of the same quality for 72% cheaper. So there are a lot of things to like about this. I have a very good friend who's lost a lot of weight using HelloFresh. HelloFresh isn't even saying, hey, we'll help you lose weight. They're saying, hey, we'll help you eat healthier and we'll free up some time that you can use to exercise and do other things in your life and make your entire life I like personally the variety, because when I shop for myself, when my wife and I are on our own to make meals, we're usually going, all right, are we going to have chicken, pork, or beef? And then we go, okay, are we going to have broccoli or Brussels sprouts or cauliflower? Like, we get in ruts. And one of my favorite things about HelloFresh is they have so much variety in terms of the proteins, but also the vegetables, but also the seasonings. I never really knew what hoisin sauce was until I got into HelloFresh and used it on several recipes. And it has made me a better cook, whether I'm following a HelloFresh recipe or just whipping something up on my own. So if you are interested in HelloFresh, we've got a whale of a deal. If you go to HelloFresh.com/Recotopia16, that's RECOTOPIA16, and enter the code Recotopia16, you can get up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts.
Nice.
So go on over there, check that out, type in that code. You'll see what I mean in terms of the variety and the meals and the menus. It's seasonal. A lot of these popular restaurants these days are farm to table. Well, HelloFresh is doing that. What's in season now is what you'll get. And we really love it. So go to HelloFresh.com/Recotopia16 and use the code Recotopia16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Can I still, even though we're doing an episode zero, can I still spring a surprise double feature on you?
Sure. I even thought of one if you didn't.
Oh, good. Well, we can both do it then, since this is episode zero.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to sneak in a second one, because I wanted to do the Phil Alden Robinson, James Horner combo and Field of Dreams and Sneakers, because they both have the perfect timing for that rolling deep piano. But I'm actually going to go with a movie called Safe Men.
Okay, yeah.
Which is young Mark Ruffalo and young Sam Rockwell and young Steve Zahn.
Was this Ryan Johnson?
Oh, no, I don't think so. This was John Hamburg.
Oh, okay. Ryan Johnson did a movie kind of like this at one point. I can't remember. I think he may have.
This is a heist comedy.
But I did see this.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm pairing it with Sneakers. It's about Steve Zahn and Sam Rockwell basically get mistaken as safecrackers and decide to take the gig. But there's actually a real pair of safecrackers that the mobsters were trying to hire instead. And of course they end up crossing paths. My favorite scene in the whole movie, they're trying to steal the Stanley Cup, by the way, if you like hockey. But both sets of thieves are in this almost walk-in safe where they're kind of like hunched over. But they take turns giving each other high five. But every time their hands hit the ceiling and they go, ow, because they're so close to the ceiling. But they keep doing the high fives. it's just a charming, I just think it would be a really fun double feature, back-to-back heists with, you know, lots of comedy throw. This one's much more comedy forward and less serious. But I still think it would be a fun piece. What was yours?
And Mark Ruffalo, by the way, has a moment in this. I can't even remember what the scene was about, but he makes this priceless face. It's a possession of some sort, and like he puts on this face like he's like, oh, thank you, or something. I gotta see it again. And the Ryan Johnson movie I was thinking of was The Brothers Bloom, by the way, Con Men one. But the one I was thinking of was Inception, because it's a different kind of heist the idea is that people are hiring them to go into, not to their own places, but they are hiring them to go into their competitors' places most of the time. And it's about giving them ideas or I guess in the beginning, it's been a while since I've seen Inception. The very first one, are they trying to, they're trying to steal secrets.
Yes.
That's how they do. And then Inception is sort of a thing they don't think they can do. They don't think that it's possible to do. And then that's what the whole plan is in Inception, is to give someone an idea. later on. But yeah, there it's stealing secrets and things, and it's gotten to the point where like big, huge firms know that this type of thing happens, and they have people that protect them from this type of thing. So that's a Christopher Nolan land for you. But
yes, that's a good one too, man.
Yeah. You know, we didn't, and just before we go, I do want to talk about this James Horner score, because it's a bluesy, jazzy thing throughout. But it's funny listening to this, because this is sort of the precursor, and I haven't seen Field of Dreams in forever, but it's sort of the precursor to a lot of James Horner that you'll hear in the next part of the decade, especially Apollo 13. And a little bit of Braveheart, and then Titanic, of course. You'll hear a lot of the themes that James Horner sort of uses in Sneakers first, and then maybe Field of Dreams has some of this too. I just haven't seen it in forever, but
Field of Dreams has some of it. It's much more, a lot more of the piano in Field of Dreams, but like that Sneakers. That doo-doo-doo-doo, I'm pretty sure that's like an oboe or a little bit more obscure woodwind instrument. Yeah, I love James Horner. We could do a whole podcast on composers, but
yeah,
you're right. It's an absolutely great score, and I didn't mean to rush past that into the surprise double feat. I was just excited about my statement.
No, that's fine. So if you're listening to episode zero, I guess we're coming out with this, and then episode one will come out the following week. Is that how we're doing this?
That's correct.
So episode zero, into episode one, the movie that, we're going to discuss in episode one is The Power of the Dog. And so that's another part of what we're going to be doing on each episode, is once we're done with that, main recommend, and we come up with that double feature that goes along with the main recommend, there's a movie for you to watch. It's homework, guys. It's homework. If you want to know what we're talking about, watch that movie, and then we will talk about that. And then we're going to have some live chats too.
Yeah, once we get to episode two, we'll be recording that live for our Patreon and SidClub members, and they can watch along if they want to chat in the chat. That's great. We can, this technology in front of us, we can pull certain chat comments onto the screen. We can respond to them. So I'm looking forward to that aspect, because, you know, if you have a chance to watch the movie in the week leading up to the show and you have your own thoughts, then it becomes really more of a community discussion and not just Chris and I. So yeah, watch Power of the Dog. It is on Netflix. And a week from now, you can hear us discuss it.
But that's going to do it for episode zero. Episode zero.
Zero.
Of Recotopia. Recotopia. And I say this in the first episode as well. It's so weird. We're doing episode zero after episode one.
Yeah.
If you want to come and talk to us about this episode, you can go to our Discord, our CinemaSins Discord, where we have, I do believe we have a Recotopia, a channel set up at this point. Can come to, talk to us there. I'm not going to probably do Facebook, anymore for this podcast anyway. We also still have CinemaSins Twitter, if you would like to go to that and talk about the episode. Hope you enjoy this. I'm certainly having fun so far.
Me
so,
too.
Hope to see you guys next week.